The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
For today is deliverance to the captives. Deliverance to the captives. If anything will divide your attention, don't allow it. Luke chapter 4, the gospel according to Saint Luke. Luke chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 18 through 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Listen to verse 22. And all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? But I go back to 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, verse 19, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This scripture Jesus read from Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2. So Jesus read this scripture from Isaiah 61 and started reading from verse 1. But in verse 2, he says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn in Zion. Jesus apparently in the reading of it omitted to read, and the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance had not come. His coming was that of peace. His coming was that of reconciliation with God. His coming was that of sacrifice to save the whole world. But the day of vengeance is reserved for his second coming, when the wrath of God shall be unleashed against the people that do not accept his begotten son as their only savior and as their Lord. So Jesus dropped that clause, the day of vengeance of our God, from where he read. And there was a good reason, because I've just told you that this first coming was for peace, but his second coming would be for judgment. So let's speak from the beginning of verse 18 of Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Another translation says, the supreme authority is upon me, which means the highest authority Because the word supreme means highest. That's why we have magistrate courts, we have the high courts, we have the appeal court, and the highest court in this country is the Supreme Court. So the word supreme means the highest, beyond which there is no further higher authority. So number one, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, means that the supreme authority is upon my life. And secondly, the highest authority is upon me regarding the assignment that has been given me. And the third meaning is that the master's authority is upon me. Every child of God must be able to quote the scripture and apply it to yourself. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Because all of us have been given an assignment by the Lord to do. And in order to fulfill that assignment, God will make His Spirit come upon you. And it is the Spirit of the Highest, so that no small power can challenge you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? It's the Spirit of the Highest, so no small power will undermine your authority and compromise the work of the Lord that you have to do. The second thing we notice in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4 is He has anointed me. He has anointed me, number one, means that He has smeared His oil upon me. Number two, it means He has wrapped His oil upon me. Number three, He has finished me with His power and His grace. So first of all, He has smeared His oil upon you. Number two, He has wrapped the oil upon your life. And number three, by the smearing and rubbing of the oil, He has finished you. In other words, He has provided for the things that you will need in order to live a victorious Christian life and to pursue your career and to pursue your purpose on earth and fulfill your destiny. When people graduate from the military academy, they are finished with all that they would require. As a matter of fact, when they check into the academy, they are given uniforms, and they start from singlets to t-shirts to cap or hats or whatever they may have, to boots, to socks, and they have everything given to them, including sometimes truncheons and sometimes guns that they may use. When there is an operation for which the military officer needs to go and combat, he's equipped with the things that he will need to go and fight the battle. So even water bottles are provided for them. They are served with food in the battlefield, so they don't have anything to worry about. So they are fully equipped, and they have the capacity enhanced by means of the training, rigorous training, and by means of training and intelligence, and by means of training which they have been given to use the most sophisticated weaponry and artillery. So it's important to take note of the fact that this morning, I, as a servant of God, I recognize on my life and upon your life that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. If the Spirit of the Lord is not upon you, the enemy will have a field day in your life. So I am announcing to you that God's Spirit and power is upon your family. In fact, the supreme authority is resident upon you. Amen is not strong enough. The highest authority is upon you. The master's power is upon your life, and he has anointed you. He has smeared his oil upon you. He has rubbed his oil upon you, and he has finished you. He has finished you with wisdom. He has finished you with understanding. He has finished you with the spirit of knowledge, power, counsel, might. And he has finished you with the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the victory that comes through Christ Jesus. So God has finished you. And if I have any witnesses here who know without any shadow of doubt that they have been finished, can they put their hands together and will they really shout in acknowledgement of the fact that they are finished? You are finished to face demons. So the Bible says, those that believe in me and they are baptized in my name, they are finished to cast out devils. Today I declare you are finished. As I speak, the oil of God is being rubbed upon you. The oil of God is being smeared upon you. Shout amen, somebody. Your life is changing. The grace upon you is being enhanced. The anointing upon you is increasing because you have made yourself available to the word of God. Oh, somebody shout amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, lift up your right hand, and this one, say it loudly. Don't say it softly after me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, say it two more times. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For the last time, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, come on, come on, come on. I say the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. So you will not be minced meat for the devil. You will not be kebab for the devil. You will not be destroyed by the enemy, because the Spirit of the Most High has overshadowed you. So the Bible says he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me. That is the third thing we want to look at. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. But we are focusing on the sent me. Turn to the next person and say, God has sent you. God has sent you. Yeah, you said it nicely, but can you say to four more people, God has sent you, God has sent you. Yes, I said four more people, God has sent you. Achubu, ake kaple ehambu, ake oyanuahe kpaposhi tokeba, achubu. I didn't hear an amen. Kejebeni achubu, otashin yeheni akebu yuye. But he has sent you. Tell the next man, he has sent you. Not to buy Pakoshito, but he has sent you. He has sent you means he has set you apart. Anytime God wants to use a person, he sets you apart. The Bible said there are many vessels in the house of God. And there are vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. The Bible says that anybody that sanctified himself will become meat for the master's use. So it's simply saying that on that occasion, the anointing sets you apart. So some of you have been anointed to prosper in business. If you are the one that I'm talking about, your amen would have be much more than my voice. I said, some of you, God has anointed you to get wealth. Oh, I will say amen for myself. For some of you, God has anointed you to preach the gospel and to win souls for the kingdom of God. God has separated you. He has called you and set you apart for an assignment. He has commissioned you to undertake an assignment. So he has set you apart to be a prophet, and he has set you apart to be an evangelist. He has set you apart to be a teacher, and he has set you apart to be an apostle. Oh, I say, God has set you apart. Oh, you are no longer ordinary, because an extraordinary grace has fallen upon your life, thereby commissioning you to undertake the assignment of God. He has sent you simply means that you have accepted the assignment, and therefore you are devoted to the course of that ministry. So if God has called you to be a doctor, he will anoint you, rub the oil on you, and he will send you to go and minister to the people. Somebody shout amen to God's glory. So he has sent you, he has sent me, he has sent all of us, irrespective of your status, irrespective of your background, irrespective of your ethnicity, irrespective of your level of education, irrespective of your wealth or otherwise, God has sent you. The fourth point that I wanted to take notice of: to preach deliverance to the captive. So let me summarize so far. The first point we're looking at from Luke 4:18 is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, which means the Spirit of the highest supreme authority is upon me. Number two, he has anointed me. He has smeared his oil on me. He has rubbed his oil on me. He has furnished me. Number three, he has sent me. He has called me and set me apart for his assignment. He has commissioned me to undertake this task that he has given me. I am therefore devoted to this course in ministry, whether it's counseling or helping people, whatever it is, God has called you. And number four, to preach deliverance to the captives. To preach deliverance to the captives. Who are the captives? The captives are prisoners. And in this circumstance, they are prisoners of war. They are people who have become limited, and their liberties have been curtailed. Some of their rights are being trampled upon, and they are not getting the opportunity to express themselves like God created them to be, because they are in captivity. Israel was in captivity in Egypt. They were slaves, so they couldn't do much in the circumstances. But the Bible says that you have been sent to preach deliverance to the captives, to the people who are in a state of imprisonment, to the people who are under incarceration, and to the people who are in the penitentiary. They are the people who are behind bars. Some of them are in condemned cells, and some of them are in the regular cells. Although we who are free may in a sense be free, in another sense some people are not free. Because Jesus was speaking not just about a physical situation as it was in the Old Testament, but he's also talking about spiritual captives that he must free. So he says the way or the methodology to free the captives was to preach the gospel. Oh, Makataya, I didn't hear an amen. To preach deliverance to the captives. You don't preach condemnation to the captives. You don't preach guilt to the captives. You preach deliverance to the captives. What does it mean to preach? The word preach means to proclaim the release of the captives. To proclaim. It also means to announce. What do you announce? You announce the liberty that God has granted to the captives. And thirdly, you are the one that heralds by announcing the freedom for all the captives. I hope you know what I'm talking about. Let me use the example of soccer. When footballers are ready for a match and they are ready to leave the dressing room and march to the field, the appearance of the footballers is heralded by the appearance of the referees. As soon as you see the referee who picks the ball from that, you know, stand or that thing that holds it, and he steps into the field of play, you know that that match, which is probably a derby, is about to happen, because the appearance of the referee heralds the coming of the footballers. The preaching of the gospel is the thing that heralds the coming of the deliverance. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Sometimes before rain falls in this part of the world, there will be a strong wind. The skies will be overcast. And you can literally smell the rain in the air. Who knows what I'm talking about? And the wind gets stronger and stronger until the rain precipitates and starts dropping. In other words, heralding the rain are the clouds and the strong winds. So they caution you that the rain is about to fall. The Bible is saying when you hear the preaching of the gospel, deliverance is about to happen. Oh my God, I didn't say it. It is in the word. And to preach deliverance to the captives, to the prisoners of war. In other words, the word is supposed to announce to the prisoners of war that their day of liberty has come. And that although they were sentenced for a long term, amnesty has been granted by the highest authority. And in this case, this one is from heaven. So it cannot be resisted by the prison warder, and cannot be resisted by a demon, and cannot be resisted by the devil, because your time of deliverance has come. Now, if I'm preaching to people who know that the preaching of the gospel will result in their deliverance, then they can shout and clap their hands properly. Can I say this? Your joy and rejoicing in faith and in the power of God heralds your deliverance. Let me hear you. Hey, you're not shouting, crowd. Do you want me to shout? You want me to shout? So while I'm preaching, deliverance is already occurring. The word of God is going into some homes. The word of God is going to some family houses. The word of God is breaking some things down to establish the will of God in that family, or and to destroy the intents and the purposes of the devil that are intended for your loss. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? We may call you, we may not call you, but the word will be directed, and the word will not return void based on the purpose for which we send it out. It will not return ineffective nor impotent, but it will go out and release all the captives, everything that has been bound and taken over by the devil. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, God is about to deliver you. Let me hear a better shout. Yabia sundi rivikia, ayele rivikia saparadikia, yamia nosi kita ya breke bezundi rivikaya. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. So, preach means to proclaim the release, and particularly in this case of the captives. Preach means to announce the liberty again granted to the captives. And three, preach means to herald by formally announcing the freedom of all the captives. There are some places that before the chief who is seated in a palanquin occurs, the man that beats the gong will come and beat the gong. And we say that, Ohinibo, Ohinibo, the king is coming. It is like a wedding that before the reception starts, the best man comes to announce and beseech everyone to rise to their feet and says, behold the bride and the groom. The best man's words heralds the coming of the bride and the groom. Because if he comes to say, shall we arise, behold the bride and the groom, and nothing happens, then he has deceived the house. And I'm sure people will not forgive him. But I want you to know today, because of the preaching of the gospel, deliverance is already established in your house. Deliverance is established. We don't have to force it. We don't have to cajole it. We don't have to fake it. Deliverance is already occurring in the house. Unless there's proclamation of the word, deliverance is not granted. No. No. The word must be proclaimed. So when there is no man to proclaim it, God will proclaim it to you in a dream. He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Once the word is sent, it must accomplish the purpose for which it was sent out. And I want you to know that when we start preaching the gospel, you must embrace the word, you must believe the word, you must stop being casual and disenchanted and nonchalant. You must stop being disengaged from the service and be so wrapped up in your sorrow and in your loneliness. But you must open up your heart that the Lord will fill your heart with the power of the gospel, so that any situation in your life that is contrary to what the word of God has said will be negated. will be blotted out, will be wiped away, that you will be freed and liberated from that thing. You don't need me to ask you to say amen every time. Otherwise, you have become a little robot and you have become a little puppet. But you must open your heart and shout amen by just reasoning, and shout glory to God, and put your hands together without any limitation, without any sense of intimidation by anybody sitting beside you, in front or behind you, because you recognize there is something happening and it is in the realms of the supernatural. By the time the service is over and by the time you finish hearing the word, you are going to walk into your miracle, you are going to walk into your blessing, you are going to walk into your breakthrough, you are going to see the shame ripped off from your life, the disgrace taken away, and you are going to see the glory of God and the power of God that will settle upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Your situation of joblessness will be taken away. Your situation of no income and poor salary will be taken away. The situation of anything that is threatening your future will be taken away, and the word will chart a course for you. The word will establish the will of God and create a highway for you that you can pass over. That is why the word is proclaimed. So when the word is proclaimed and we don't say amen, then we are doing harm to ourselves. We are not benefiting from the word. That is why in the Psalms, God took time when he was teaching them on praise and deliverance. He told them to say amen, but then he realized amen was not enough. So he says, say amen and amen. Can I hear you say amen and let's say it for the second time, amen and amen. For the third time, amen and amen. It has established it. For deliverance to occur presupposes there's a situation of captivity. And captivity may be spiritual, it may be psychological, it may be emotional, it may even be physical, it may be social, it may be related to your relationships. And captivity can affect you in various areas. When a man grants you liberty, it is somewhat in the physical. But when God grants you liberty, then it covers all these facets of your life. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? When a prisoner is freed, he's freed from that environment of restriction. But the moment he walks out, he must find money for transportation. You say in other countries, they have some benefits for the prisoners. Over here, the court that you were last sentenced in and where your address is the money that they will give you. So if you were sentenced by the High Court in Accra, off the high street, and your house is in Ayika Adoblo, they will give you transportation money so you reach Ayika Adoblo. The moment you disembark from the transportation, you don't have anything to eat with. So your liberty is only physical. Your liberty is only related to the restriction and the environment in which you were, so that you have been given opportunity to breathe fresh air. But that fresh air comes with various challenges of where to sleep. Assuming you came out And then your family house has been sold out. Because the owner died and the children agreed that, okay, let's sell it and go and buy some lands on the fringes of the city. And they sold it out and nobody communicated to you. You walk to your family house and you see that the design has changed. Oh, you haven't thought about that. Then you will find that you may have lost the addresses of some of your friends. And you will realize that you don't have a job, you don't have a place to lay your head, and you don't have money for food and transportation. But when God delivers you, oh Masokataya, He delivers you from the spirit, because you may be delivered from the prison and you may still be limited in your physical body. But when God delivers you, He delivers you from the spirit. And the thing affects your soul and affects your body and it affects your relationship and affects your finances and affects your opportunities and affects your status. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that is holistic deliverance. What God does in the spirit must appear in all the various facets of your life. It must trickle down. So sometime between the deliverance that we receive through salvation and the manifestation, there are warfares to be done to displace some Hivites and some Hittites and some Jebusites and all kinds of enemies that have gone to illegally occupy the land as quarters. They must be driven out by reason of the anointing that God has placed upon you. And you must be ready to pick the shield and the buckler. You must be ready to pick the truth. And you must be versatile and skillful in the usage of the word to establish what God wants to do. Anointing oil had been poured upon him at 17 by one of the most accredited prophets that the Bible recognizes, Samuel. But there was a Goliath to fight, and there were other battles to fight to establish the deliverance, the fullness of the deliverance that God has brought to him. The idea of deliverance suggests that you are in a position where you cannot free yourself. You are in a circumstance. You cannot free yourself. In 2010, in a country called Chile, there were some 33 miners who went down into the bowels of the earth, 150 feet, if I'm not wrong. They went down into the bowels of the earth, 33 miners, each between 18 and 69. What happened on that occasion? They were working in the bowels of the earth. Then one of the roofs collapsed and trapped them in the mine. They could not save themselves. They could not come out. They had small amount of food. Sometimes they carry some biscuits that are nourished with a lot of vitamins and other things that when you take a little, it will make you run for many hours. So the leader of the group started rationing the biscuits. You take half because we don't know when we'll be delivered. You too take quarter. So he started rationing the food and they had little water in the place and they stayed in the bowels of the earth for 69 days. Left to them alone, there was no way they could have delivered themselves. They were trapped. So a lot of scientists and technical people met And they decided that they would drill a narrow borehole. They would drill a borehole by which to reach the miners and serve them with water and food and drop oxygen in the place so they don't run out of oxygen. Following that, they began to drill bigger holes. So there were engineering and mining experts from all over the world who collaborated to bring out these miners who were trapped in the bowels of the earth. And let me correct myself. They were 2,300 feet in the bowels of the earth. 2,300 feet down. So the scientists developed something like a capsule, something that a human being could be put in. And so they would drop the capsule in after they had drilled the hole, and one person at a time would be brought out gradually. And when the person came out, all the people who were standing there started rejoicing and celebrating. They were blindfolded because they hadn't seen light for 69 days. The second person was brought out, and there were 33, till the last person, and there was rejoicing and there was cheering because they couldn't save themselves. They needed some other people who had technical know-how, engineering know-how, and they had skill and ability to drill holes and to help them survive in the 69 days. 60 days is 2 months and a few days. For some of you, if you are even asked not to leave your home, you remember COVID, and stay inside your room, you will not be happy. You had supplies, some of you had supplies of cheese and butter, and you had supplies of Hausa cocoa powder, and all, you were fine. But these were people, I don't know, excuse me, where they toileted. What am I saying? I'm saying that there are some situations that you cannot save yourself, and you need a greater power, a stronger person to save you. Men may only save you in the natural, but even that, there's limitation. But when Christ comes to the scene and saves you, he really saves you. That's why the Bible says that them that the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. They shall be free in actuality. They shall be free in reality. So, we are supposed to preach to the captives the message of deliverance to the captives and tell them that he who knew no sin has become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. We are to tell them that for he has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We are to tell them, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through his death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So when we preach, number one, we proclaim. Number two, we declare. Number three, we announce. And number four, the message heralds the deliverance of the people. And let me quote from Psalm 107 verse 20, which I have used earlier on. He sent his word. God will not do anything without his word. Anything he will do for you that matters and will last will be done by the word. So when the Bible says you have rejected me by rejecting my word, it says because you have rejected my word, I have rejected you. So you cannot sit in the house of God and be rejecting the word. Be rejecting the word. We preach on tithes and offering, you reject it. We preach on soul winning, you reject it. We preach on peace, you reject it. You will not benefit from the word. But he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What does it mean to be delivered? Number one, it means to be rescued. And I've given you an example of the 33 minus. Number two, deliverance means to be set free. To be set free. A president was elected in a country, and when he came, he said, all political prisoners are free. Number three, deliverance means salvation, from the Greek word sozo, which has to do with a lot of things: healing, restoration, deliverance, prosperity, and many other things. Number four, deliverance means redemption, to be bought back at a price. And number five, deliverance means liberation. So one, rescue; two, set free; three, salvation; four, redemption; and five, liberation. Liberation suggests that somebody has colonized you, dominated you with evil, like the Jews in Egypt, and God sent a deliverer to set them free. So a deliverer is a person who saves someone else from trouble or a painful or bad experience. A deliverer is a person who saves someone else from trouble or a painful or a bad experience. Secondly, a deliverer is one with a strong hand who enables you to escape danger or destruction. He's one with a strong hand. God has a mighty right hand of righteousness. He says, my eyes run to and fro throughout the whole world to show myself strong in the behalf of them that walk uprightly before me. May God show himself strong on your behalf. Oh, your amen is not good. To enable them escape danger. So, our deliverance by Christ of the captives is intended to free us in all areas of our lives. Say amen at least. Oh, let the amen make the word yours. Say another amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 49 from 25, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Today I'm announcing to you, no matter how supposedly strong the demons in your background and the spirits that are contending with you are, the Bible says, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Today you shall be taken away. from the enemy's claws, from the enemy's oppression, from the enemy's affliction, from the enemy's depression, you shall be taken away. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Can you raise up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, the enemies which are too strong for me, today you have delivered me. You have delivered me by the tokens of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you shout and clap to God's glory? It says the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. And listen to the other part. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. I mean, the person may be as terrible as Goliath, but Israel will be delivered. The person may be as terrible as the Roman emperor or a magistrate straight in Rome, and they may throw Paul and Silas into jail, but they will be freed. Oh, I don't like your amen. I say, in other words, I'm saying that no matter the strength of the devil, the power of God will break the powers of evil upon your life today. Shout an enduring amen. I remember when I was a student in the university, and I was working with a pastor, we had to go and pray for a woman at the botanical gardens in the university where I was. And I remember that I had to do that with Reverend Ampia Kofi. So we were just two. And there was this woman who had problems with childbirth. And when we started praying, the presence of God came down so strongly, and this woman started acting as if she was pregnant, and she was acting as if she was in the labor ward, and she was groaning and screaming and acting as if a baby was coming. It was a demonic hand that had held the womb and that had dominated the womb and that was oppressing her from outside, because she was a believer and had been in the faith for a long time. And we had to pray to break that hand of the devil. I would never forget that thing. I remember when I was a young minister, we would gather around the Salvation Army Park and they'd bring people from neighboring communities. And there was this woman who came who said, she had been pregnant for 3 years. I said, how can you be pregnant for 3 years? I mean, are there no gynecologists? Can they do cesarean session? She said she's pregnant. And then there was a mighty protuberance of the tummy. So there was no denial because it was there. And we started praying. And I laid hands on the tummy. And bah, whatever was inside moved out. Like wind, it disappeared. And the tummy became flat. So now she was ready to go and take proper seed, because a demonic seed had been planted in her. Today, I'm declaring to you, by the word of the Lord, that you'll be free. I say you'll be free. I say you'll be free. Them that the Son shall set free shall be free indeed, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes without our knowledge, we were taken into backgrounds of doubtful spiritual sources, and we were exposed and made to contact all kinds of spirits, and they gave us the impression that these spirits were for our help. They made incisions in our body, made incisions on our foreheads and on our backs. And since then, something has been fighting us. But today, that thing will be driven us. One will be driven away. Once and for all, that covenant that you establish, whether it was an ordinary covenant or a blood covenant,
covenant that you established with the gods of your background. Today, your liberty will be established. That power is being broken now by the finger of God in the name of Jesus Christ.
Somebody may have put something in food for you when you were young, and nobody noticed it, but was transferring a demonic power to you. Since then, there are moments that you behave in a way that you are beside yourself, like, and then something starts occurring around you, and you find that, nah, it's not you. Sometimes I say something is speaking through you. It's not you. It's a demonic spirit. It's the presence of a contrary force. And the proclamation of the word is to destroy this at the root and uproot it and break the power of the devil from your life and set you free. Shout the greatest amen. Some of you are not comfortable to close your eyes and sleep, because when you sleep, there will be a certain kind of dream. In the dream, somebody will be chasing you with a spear. A lion, even a giraffe will be chasing you. And you will come to a river and you'll be gasping for breath and you have no means of crossing the river. Today, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ died with us and has raised us from the devil and seated us together in the heavenly places, far above principality and power and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. I declare from today that this is the last nightmare. This is the last bad dream that you are going to have. Any revelation of God will come to you, but we stop the revelations of the devil, that which puts fear in you. You are afraid in the morning, afraid in the night. There's a demon that comes to whisper to you and tell you that you will not see your next birthday. Who is it that saying and coming to pass when the Lord has not said it? What they say will not come to pass. If it will come to pass, then it will come to pass on their lives. They will not see their next birthday. But you will transcend. There's a spirit that makes you transcend. Hey, you will transcend limitations. You will transcend barriers. You will transcend any line of death drawn for you. You will cross it. You will cross it and live longer by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. You will cross it. I say you will cross it. You will cross your 20s, cross your 30s. You will enter age 40. You will cross your 50s. You will cross your 60s. As for the 70, it will be cocoa. 80, you will cross it. 90, you will cross it. Tell me how long you want to live on earth and let God establish it. The Bible says, although they gather, as for the gathering, don't let it frighten you. And Pastor, I saw some people who had gathered on a tree, and they were saying that I will see, and they will deal with, although they gather, it is not by me. Whatever they declare is not approved of God. But what I am preaching, what I am proclaiming, what I am declaring, it's a harbinger. It's a forerunner to your deliverance. If you have been delivered, shout, yeah!
Oh, I like your clap. I like your shout. Mayondi bisaya ya bia stele rebekia na kanie ni bane banyono manyonte ya Yesu Kristo bane won rebuild duja hewalele. Oh, I say you'll be free. You'll be free. You'll be free. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon your children, upon your household, upon your business, upon your enterprise, upon your ministry. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon you. I command the destruction of the rod of the wicked. I'm declaring the word. I'm pronouncing the word. In the name of Jesus, be delivered from all manner of sicknesses, common sicknesses, uncommon sicknesses, strange sicknesses. May God give you the power of God to be active in your life, that strange miracles, healings, and deliverances shall occur. From today, you will no longer be afraid of Goliath. You will no longer be afraid. You will no longer be afraid. God is with you. Wherever you go, he goes there. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the world. Your latter years and your latter days shall be better than the former. You will get married. You will bring forth by the proclamation of the word in the name of Jesus Christ. You will have your own household. Oh, shout amen. There are some of you, you are not shouting. Come on, shout to the glory of God. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Some demon attacks you and you lose all your appetite. I declare, may your appetite be restored.
Obanyo ye banku kome. Kadrobo banyo ye tempo. Ma bono mwe femi fo wani ye banku sani eni engbo na. Be ma ye jollof rice sani mo.
I say may your appetite be restored. May your strength be restored. The strength in your limbs, in your legs. May that paralysis leave you. In the name of, may that stroke leave your arm, leave your legs, and leave your speech and your mind in the name of Jesus Christ. May that impotence and barrenness leave your life in the name of Jesus Christ. The young men and young women and a few adults who desire to marry, I release you, because your day of liberty has come. Your day of rejoicing has come. Your day of deliverance has come. May the Lord crown you with his glory and honor. You haven't shouted enough to God's glory.
Oh, I said, can you nyewami, but nyewami mean way here, nyewami feel. But no chord ye call home watch your basa wa dienche. Garipo obasa gari. Chordi wa ye jeme. Ke your chejibo na bibo mature shishi zome shishi oha kokoko. Oba tu here.
Come on, put your hands together. Liberty is coming to the house of God. Ayendere bekia sakata. Ya bia stelere bekia saya. Ayondara bekia. Ayendere bekia staya. Hey, that attack on your mind shall cease. That doorway by which the enemy attacks your mind, it shall cease. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but he has given you the spirit of power. Receive the spirit of power, the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of love, and the spirit of sound mind. Sound mind. Yababa Sundara. Yababa Sundara. Yababa Sundara. Imondiri Bikiasa. Ayelere Bikiataya. The one who says you will not get married will be very lonely until he or she repents. Did you hear what I said? I said you'll marry. We will bless your marriage. We will bless your marriage. We will dedicate your children. We will dedicate your house. We will dedicate your cars. We will dedicate your business. In Jesus' name. Don't be afraid. Fear not. For I am with you. I am your God, and I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. He's your God. He's the supreme authority. He's greater than any other thing. Can we clap properly to God?
Oh, come on, stay where you are and pray. Don't worry.
Wonko ara na yebe sumo woma wonsa aswa nania mayedi wonyo meni.
Can we give that praise to God?
And I see so I more.
Raise your voice and sing.
Unyuma nyinara.